Here's a little story I like to tell about four bad brothers you know so well. They had a little segment back in history with Carmen, Yurko, Wild Ol', and Sylvie. That's right, motherfuckers, crosstalk is back. But you can only hear it if you have this app. ESPN 1000 Chicago, look on the Wild Ol' and Sylvie, Carmen and Yurko. Uncut, uncensored, and never discreet. You will like this as much as Carmen likes feet. 30 minutes of talking shit amongst friends. Cross talk unhinged. Let the show begin.
What the fuck is up? We are back inside the studio now. Easier to find, not just on the Carmen and Yurko and Waddle and Sylvie page. We've got our own tile on the ESPN Chicago app. Whoa. Cool logo.
And, man.
Wherever your podcasts are, you know, you can download it there as well. So subscribe and do all that stuff. And good to see all of you
guys.
Good
to see you guys.
It's a pleasure to see you guys, man.
Even though,
how large is
good
the pleasure?
Tommy,
good pleasure?
It's as large as the piece of toffee I had the other day that you're so fucking
Tommy toffee over there.
Jeez.
Yeah, no. What is protocol, actually, for you come into someone's office and you take something off their desk?
I'll
aren't you responsible for whatever fucking illness comes your way?
I'm going to tell you what happened.
This guy.
All right?
Wait, what do you mean me?
It's over the break.
What do you mean me?
Everybody's gone.
You guys came and took my shit off my desk.
I come in there. I see something that's edible. I mean, I don't know if they're cookies.
Oh,
I didn't know what they were.
That's top shelf toffee, too.
Listen, you're talking about a guy that is always hungry. I saw it. I opened it up, and I saw the dairy warning that this needs to be refrigerated.
Refrigerated
or it needs to be consumed.
Let me ask you a quick question.
Go ahead, please.
Is there a dairy warning on the outside or only on the inside?
No, after I opened it up. That's when I saw the dairy warning. So I was going to open it, see what it was, close it, you know, if it wasn't something I liked, you know. But it's toffee. I liked it. I dug in and had three pieces right away. Then I put the box back right where it was, came back the next day not touched.
It was delicious.
I opened it up. I had another one. The other day I opened it up after you guys threw it away. I was a little bit upset. I got to the
you
bottom.
You some dumpster diving?
It was the biggest piece of toffee they had in the whole damn thing.
That was a
Remember
turd.
I was
that wasn't
on the
toffee.
Side.
That
you
was
guys
a turd.
What was going on?
Crapped in the box.
It was delicious.
Johnny, I knew you were going to dumpster dive, so I took a shit in the box.
Seeds, no seeds, no corn.
There were nuts in it because Waddle had corn in there.
No seeds, no corn. No seeds, no corn. That's all I'm going to say.
Shit in the box, Johnny.
No, you did not.
Gone too far.
All I know is
so you should be mad at
him. It was delicious. It was delicious. So it was a gift to you from someone. Whoever it was.
RJ.
Let me tell you. To RJ, thank you. That was phenomenal.
How much do you think? I did a little research. How much do you think?
$40.
I think it's a pound.
$40.
Was it a pound?
$40.
It was 1 pound.
Now you're a little high.
Listen, it could have been a pound and a half.
$26.
$26.99. You are correct.
Yeah.
That doesn't blow my top off.
Really? Whether it does or it doesn't, it was good.
A pound of toffee?
A pound of toffee is delicious. It's like a pound of Serrano ham.
I spent $65 on fudge.
Much more expensive.
Did you? Merchant said he spent $65 on fudge.
Hey, maybe it's the place from Italy.
You get it half price if you go to the
Parma Dells. Ham, $24.
Get yourself some moccasins as well.
Where
right,
are you buying fudge, and how much fudge do you get for $65?
There's I found out I was meeting
spending
a friend.
Spending that author money of yours, huh?
Yeah, early December in Arlington Heights, downtown Arlington Heights, and I'm walking to my car, and I see a Kilwins, and I love their fudge. And I'm
Kilwins?
Like, oh, please be open. Please be open. And I went running over there open. So I bought $15. I bought two chunks that time, and I'm like, I'm going back to Fountain Week. And I said, so I don't have to keep going back. Give me six.
You don't run.
And it was
scurry.
Like $65.
Like Elaine buying up the sponges.
Yeah.
You scurried so over. Could you spare a square? I mean, did you scurry over there? You're not running. I can't see you run.
Oh, no, I ran.
I can see a scurry. I can see him scurry over, not run.
Did you rub it all over yourself?
Oh, yeah.
Don't,
oh, yeah.
No.
Did you paint yourself up in it?
No, I did not.
All the hair.
It was good, though. I still have
Did you, lick a big piece of it and rub it all over your chest?
No. I mean, I bought fudge.
Did you lay under a glass table and put a big piece of it right on the top?
I don't know. I'm
rub it on your
uncomfortable with that, the urban legend about that whole story.
Well,
I don't know how that gets passed down or how that's even known.
I know.
A story like that's got to be true.
Right?
I don't know. I think one person says it in a bar one day.
Maybe you're right.
And it is so kind of out there that maybe.
People
but
are like, what are you
I do get a giggle
about?
Every time that you, when the good kid says, hey, that great book, Under the Glass.
Yeah.
Jack Brickhouse story. I always, behind the glass, under it. I know it's somewhere.
Yeah.
Right? The book is somewhere. By the glass.
behind.
Next to the glass, on top of the glass, under the glass, behind the glass. I know the damn thing somewhere. So I try to promote it all the time. And it's true from the heart, the promotion.
So why didn't you, after, behind the glass, after you took the lid off of the fudge or whatever it was, and you saw that it needed to be refrigerated, knowing that you were going to go back to the box.
Why didn't you refrigerate it?
Why didn't you refrigerate it?
That's a good question.
Because I wanted to eat it again the next day.
I know, and but you
I didn't know where the refrigerator was. I thought if I put it in the refrigerator, it would be thrown in the garbage.
No.
Yes.
Why?
Because
there's a refrigerator in our room.
Clean.
Is there a refrigerator in your room?
We don't have one. Of course,
caps,
we don't.
Get
have
any
one.
Caps off. It's like a 2-bedroom apartment. His office.
Yeah, he's got a suite. Have you ever seen Caps' office?
Yeah, which one's his office now?
The one across the hall.
He's had
from
it
you.
For a while. He's probably got the best office in the joint.
No, that one got cleaned out. I thought somebody else had moved into that thing.
No, that's Caps' office. He's never in there. He never goes in there.
Yeah,
it's a 2-bedroom apartment.
He doesn't go in there anymore.
It's not.
I'm just saying to you that if you were worried about somebody's physical condition because it wasn't refrigerated, you should have been worried yourself.
I was willing to be the guinea pig, though, Tom. Sometimes you got to take, you got to go to the edge and test the parameters of what people think will get you sick and won't get you sick.
So was the warning.
So instead of mocking me or going, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do this? How about a simple thank you?
How about don't
pick thanking me for testing it out?
Turning the table.
Testing it for finding out, for keeping you guys away from the sickness. Instead, I did. I can eat what makes a Billy Goat puke. That's what I do. I'm John Rambo.
John Rambo.
I never got sick.
You know what? If I look at you and I look at Stallone from the movies, I can't tell the difference between the two of you.
Please. I look more like Stallone and Copland.
Talk to me, Johnny.
Yeah, remember you Copland?
Talk to me, Johnny.
Frank Stallone,
Johnny, talk to me.
Talk to me, Johnny.
Frank Stallone. Copy leader, Con Raven. Come in, Raven.
God did it,
Copy leader, Con Raven. Come in, Raven. Johnny,
come
can you hear me?
The crying part of it, what he talks about.
Cubby leader, Colin Ortega team. Dom Hauer. Rambo. Oh, Jackson.
First blood.
They're all gone.
They're all gone, sir.
Cancer ate him to the bone.
How old is that now?
Oh,
40 years?
I'm guessing 40 years. Yeah.
It's timeless.
Boy, if you get Brian Dennehy, he plays a good shit kicker cop, you know? Yeah. He plays a good one.
Just saw him in a movie last night called The Next 3 Days? With what's her name, Elizabeth Banks. I saw the end of it. I'd seen it before. And Russell Crowe.
Never heard of
it. He breaks his wife out of prison.
Oh, yeah?
And then first scene, like I hadn't seen it in years, first scene I'd see a smiling Brian Dennehy, and it brought back memories.
Wow. Yeah, it does.
Yeah, I've never seen that movie.
He's a great character.
Brian Dennehy was in one of the great ABC 7 movies after Rich Man, Poor Man, The Jericho Mile.
Jericho Mile,
if you've ever seen The Jericho Mile with Peter Strauss, Brian Dennehy was like the leader of the white supremacist gang in there. And the guy that used to play TC on Magnum P.I., the helicopter pilot, he was in that also.
They used to make some good made-for-TV movies
in the day.
No, I haven't watched a
Peter Strauss
show.
Brian's Song was a made-for-TV movie, wasn't it?
I think it was,
yeah.
I get pissed off now on some of the streaming services when you have to sit through a 60-second commercial.
No,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if you pay an extra $4 a month, then you don't get the commercials.
You know what? Something's going on with one of my apps because I have paid the full freight, like $79 for the year.
Still getting the commercials?
And I'm still getting the commercials
now. What about the Peacock? You on that?
Yeah.
Peacock, I don't.
Paramount Plus.
Paramount Plus is where I'm getting screwed.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not for shocked. Paramount Plus.
At CBS now?
Yes.
Paramount Plus?
Yeah. MTV, CBS, all those.
Viacom.
Viacom.
Yeah, it's all Viacom stuff.
I have everything. We've talked about this.
It's
We've
ridiculous.
Raged again. I've caved. I've said, here's my money. This is my entertainment.
Yeah.
If I need one show.
Good luck.
I did put my foot down, though, the other day on Showtime.
Yeah,
but
good.
I think
good
I can get it in some other way. Like I barely watch anything on Showtime.
Well, Billions is coming back.
Yeah, but without
I know Bobby I'm not interested.
Who cares?
Damian Lewis left.
I lost interest in Billions. I got to be honest. I watched four seasons, and I'm like, I can understand.
I started watching. What's the thing you like? Yellowstone.
I have. Yeah, Sylvie loves it.
Dude, I watched Yellowstone. Yeah, Dutton family.
Right up your alley.
I only watched two. I watched the third one. I mean,
the first 3 seasons. Beth Dutton was one of the best characters I've seen in television.
The whole premise is, though, the old lady's dead, right?
The mother?
Mother Dutton is dead.
Yes, she's
right. You know that's that not from the whole premise.
No, but you know that from the beginning.
Right.
But her death and the way she treated her daughter explains a lot of things.
Well, then now.
You find that out in season 3.
You're going to get over the hump.
Episode 3.
You're going to get over the hump of the first 3, and then all of a sudden the character development will start. And I think it's outstanding.
I haven't seen it yet.
I just started it yesterday.
I think the character of Beth Dutton for the first 3 seasons was one of the best television characters I'd seen in a long time.
She seems that way.
I felt like. like this year, like I've said this. I thought fourth season kind of didn't deliver. My expectation levels
she
were
softened?
Way high.
Did she soften? Or what
no,
happened?
But like she's it, not soft. She went the
she
other way.
More crazy. And it, she it, went over yeah. the top.
It yeah. almost became yeah. more formulaic and too, right, you know, right. too scripted.
This but. Seemed natural.
I'll still watch
early
it.
On. Though.
That's my problem with Billions. It's too. It's the same thing, basically. It's very yeah. formulaic. It's yeah. yeah. I got
they
sick of
right. shock you.
Yeah. But listen, that was like a show you'd watch on Sunday after football games or yeah. something. You'd be like, hey, I'm going to watch it for a while. Not tied to it, but.
It's, you know, and everyone's, I brought this up on our show the other day. Everyone's been comparing the McCaskey family to Succession. Mm. And
that's
I,
a good
have
show.
Have we talked about this? Maybe we no. talked about this on here. I forget.
No, not on here.
But anyway, there's the old man runs the company in yeah. Succession, and his kids are trying to be the next CEO of the company, and they're all sort of jacking
fighting
for position.
Takes over.
And then trying to, one kid's trying to overthrow
I've seen
him.
That, yeah.
But the point is, on all the reason it's a bad comp is there's no old man anymore in the McCaskey slash Hallis family. Yeah. These McCaskey kids have not learned from anybody.
It's amazing.
And it's sort of the kick that I've been on lately, and even why less I believe in George now, is who has Ted learned the family, or no, who has George learned the family business from? Probably Ted.
Probably Ted. Which and what does Ted know about the family business?
Fucking nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. It is the problem with the organization. It is. There's no one that understands how to properly build a football team. They can make money. Anybody can make money in the NFL, I think.
Oh, it's impossible, I mean, not, it's to impossible make money not in the league. To, if right? you lose money in the NFL, you are a certified yeah, moron.
Exactly.
But so, they
anybody
make,
can make money.
They didn't make money in other business. Like many of these owners have been at least successful businessmen. Stupid when it comes to football. But at least they know how to run a corporation. They know how to run a company. The McCaskey family, they're over. They don't know. They simply lucked into the team.
Yeah.
And George has been gone forever. George Hallis.
40 years almost,
and,
right?
And they have never been successful as business people, and they've never been successful as football people.
No.
And now we sit here and we wonder why George continues to miss out on the coach and the general manager and everything. It's like, because they are ill-equipped to run a football team. It's like knocking on your neighbor's door and saying, hey, run our team.
Do we wonder why anymore, though? I don't think we wonder why. I think that's why. I think we know. I don't know how none of the knowledge got passed down to that side of the family, but none of it did. Yeah.
If you look at the Steelers, like it's like the stock market. If you look at it closely, you'll see down, you know, it'll go down and then it'll come back up, but you'll see valleys. But if you look at a longer term graph of the stock market, it's just it's diagonal. It goes up over the period of time.
Right.
That's what the Steelers are.
Yes.
The Steelers are the same as the stock market. There'll be
from the 1970s to now.
Yes.
You're exactly right.
It goes like this.
But each Rooney.
It's like Stryker, a mountain going up.
Yes.
Each Rooney learned from the other, correct? Yes. All the Art Rooneys in the family. Aren't there Art Rooney the first, the second, the third?
There's
all,
like nine of them.
Right. And they've all learned from each other. My point is, George Hallis is the only man in that family who knew football.
Yeah.
Or the Muggsy.
Muggsy
passed
died.
Away. Yeah. And so when George dies in the early 80s
yeah,
or whatever.
Like 83,
when he dies, now these grandkids grow up with
nothing.
Michael McCaskey takes over after the Super Bowl. He didn't know crap.
Nope.
He didn't learn anything from his grandpa.
Nope.
Michael was wandering in the desert. He gets fired by Virginia.
Right, but you had Finks and Venisi that were there, too, that were football men, too. Then when they end up leaving,
right, yeah, this is
that's
my point.
When the McCaskey stench takes
the
over.
The point that I'm making is that you forget. Is if you look at, like, the graph for the Bears is longer because they've been around longer. But what most people don't realize, like myself, because I didn't even get here until 1989, the stretch between the 63 championship and the 85 championship was filled with more of what we've seen even now. They didn't win a playoff game from 63 until 84.
With two of the all-time great players on the franchise.
So think about it. Like they found a blip of success. When you look at their graph, it goes straight across. It's not a diagonal. You'll find a peak, and you found you got fortunate. You hired Finks. You hired Venisi. Then it goes down. Then you get a little bit of a peak again when you hire Jerry Angelo, but then it goes right. I mean, like, there is steady incline.
And look at the boob nature of why it went down, okay? So you go through, like Yurko just said, your greatest success of the franchise in the 80s. You're a Super Bowl contender every year. You win one, arguably the greatest defense of all time in 85, and you win in 86 at the Super Bowl. And then you say to yourself, what we're going to do is, while all the other teams are adding to their front office, we're going to omit the general manager position. Not only are we going to fire Jerry Finisi, and not only has Jim Finks moved on, we're not even going to hire the next GM. I got this, Michael McCaskey.
I'll do it. Yeah.
So you wonder why see this curve, why in the 80s, the greatest success, and Michael McCaskey says, we don't need a fucking GM. Mm-hmm. And you wonder why you're still feeling the reverberations today. And now you got George saying we don't need a president. It's the same thing. 20 years from now, I guarantee you, whoever's owning the team will have a new president. Well, they will have a president, and they will build this out.
I know what you're saying, but like, I don't think anybody wonders why anymore. I think we all know. For the reasons you just mentioned, there's no mystery any longer.
Yeah.
And it's why I was such an advocate of finding someone, whoever it is. Like, I have a personal, you know, relationship with Trace Armstrong. I think the world of his resume, I think he would have been ideal in the spot. Pick somebody else with football knowledge to take over the role that Ted has filled for 23 years and see if doing business that way will bear more delicious fruit.
They have to luck into this, guys. They have to luck into the
That's
coach,
exactly
I'm telling
it.
You.
That's where you're at.
And maybe they will.
Yeah. And there's a possibility they do luck it into happen. It. There's probably about 3 candidates of each that'll probably be the right candidate. So the more you interview, the less likely there's a chance that you end up finding the right guys. But hopefully you find a 3 and you get 1 and 1, and they can match up together and do something.
That's
that's what you're hoping for.
They need dumb luck, which is...
No, you're right.
Sorry to say for us Bears fans, but they just kind of need dumb
luck. Who's your guy right now as far as the coach? Because I think the GM is harder to tell. So, like, if you give me 1 and 1, give me...
Byron Sandwich.
Who your favorite guy is that you would want and who you think they're going to hire.
I want Lefwich and Morocco Brown.
Who do you think they're going to hire?
I think they're going to hire Morocco Brown and Byron Leftwich.
Oh, so you think they're going to get it right?
They're going to get it right because that's what sent it to them. Yes, I've sent it to them.
Have you told Virginia? Have you whispered?
Yeah,
sweet
whisper it to her.
I don't think. No, okay, I don't think that they're going to hire a first-time GM.
You don't?
Because of what happened with Ryan Pace, or it will be someone. Like, to me, I don't know who the right GM is. I just don't. But the one guy that alleviates some of my fears because there's an enormous void in that front office is Rick Smith.
Yes.
Now, you could poke holes in some of the things that Rick Smith did, but Rick Smith has filled pretty much every position for a National Football League franchise. If you put him at the general manager spot, now you've got a guy who's been there and done that, and the inexperience factor goes away a little bit. I'm not guaranteeing he'd be the right guy, but for me, like, my concern is you get a guy in there doing it for the first time, he may be fantastic.
Morocco.
What happened to Ryan Pace? He had nobody to look to help him in moments when he...
No, he had people to look to, but he chose not to.
Right, like John Fox.
That's what he did. He chose not to listen to anybody. Do you know why? Because he didn't have the confidence in himself to be able to receive the information.
I'm talking about somebody that's on his level or above him, and the only person above him in that business was Ted Phillips, who has no football knowledge.
Right.
Well, that's true. I agree with you.
Right. If you sit down with the president,
Ted Phillips, no football knowledge.
If you go to a football president, or just a president who knows football, and you say, hey, I got this idea. I'm all in on Mitch. I know it. This is Drew Brees. I don't want to tell John. And then the president says, let's think this out.
Right.
You don't tell John, and then you ask him to develop that quarterback. Yeah. We're off to a fucking bad start.
Yep.
Let's think about this, Ryan.
He had nobody to tell him that's a bad idea.
And by the way, have you talked? I just watched Watson play in the championship game.
Watson!
Have you had a personal workout conducted with Deshaun like you did with Mitch in North Carolina? No. Well, why not?
Why not?
Because he's got this really cool old fucking Toyota, and I'm fucking smitten with it.
Have you talked to Patrick Mahomes?
And he found a great reservation for us at a restaurant.
He did, but like a president could work through these things and say, this is why this is a bad idea. And at the end of the day, if you want to do all that stuff, let's talk it through, and you still, your conviction, the stupid-ass word convicted, you're convicted on Mitch, fine. But at least let's run the right, let's do it the right way.
And so the new narrative now has become Matt Nagy and the quarterback had some dysfunction. I think we knew Nagy wasn't sold on him early, but it's what it was what Trubisky was doing on the field that didn't have him sold.
Of course, Johnny. Now, like this narrative too, that like, this is thing, all Nagy's fault is crazy.
No, Mitch.
Mitch needs to carry his portion of the responsibility.
Yeah. So to address what I've been seeing lately that, Trubisky gets exonerated because of how brutal Matt Nagy was offensively, that doesn't work, okay? Because you looked at him separate, can he make the throws, can he do this, can he do that? Why does he have that little hitch in his get-along when it comes to finding the guy at the right time? Those were all real.
Yes.
Made more difficult because Matt Nagy was not an offensive genius? Maybe. But
both are true.
He's still right. Both can be true. Nagy could be awful and Trubisky could be awful. They both could be awful.
I think that's probably the answer.
Yes. There you go. Done deal. They both can be true. Not, Mitch is a world beater of a quarterback now because we found out Matt Nagy is a moron and he's not good offensively, which you've noted year after year after year.
Okay, so now when you look at a coach, like I'm fine with a defensive-minded coach, but I need to know what your plan is.
Yeah.
And if you aren't all in on Justin Fields, what's the alternative? You know, so you have to have a plan here. So, like what you've got invested in Justin Fields makes it really difficult for you to go away from him in any way, shape, or form for the next couple of years. But if you have a plan, I'll listen to it. It's got to be a good one.
It's almost impossible.
It is. That's the point. Yeah. Like, if you want to tell me that you will trade for Russell Wilson, where are you going to get the money to pay Russ? Where are you going to get the draft picks to send there? And can you win right now with the rest of the fucking roster you have?
Probably not.
So, like, you know, when you look at a guy like Brian Flores, who has a lot of positive qualities, one of my questions, not in not overlooking the fact that he's a Boston College guy, it was one of his positive qualities as well. Mm-hmm. But the point here is...
That was Ryan Pace's quality. He's the right guy for me.
As much as I like some of the things about Brian Flores, I got to know from Brian, what's your offensive game plan? Because you had four offensive coordinators in three years, and your offense was bottom 10 in the 3 years that you guys were in Miami. Did some nice things, but our issue here in Chicago for the last decade is we can't score enough points. What is your answer for that? If you've got a good one, I'll ride with you.
And have you heard, I guess Keyshawn said this on Cap Show the other day, a caller told us about it. I didn't hear it live, and I think the more I keep going through this in my brain, and if you follow the Bears' history, it makes sense, like what they did with Pace and Accorsi. They interviewed Jim Caldwell. Bill Polian hired Jim Caldwell as the head coach of the Colts. You follow who these guys know.
Yes.
You know that they like Leslie Frazier. I bet on Leslie Frazier through you. A guy like Leslie Frazier, a guy like Brian Flores, if they are smitten with him, and they go to Jim Caldwell and they say, look,
assistant head coach.
You're the assistant head coach, offensive coordinator. You run it like Vic ran the defense, and Brian, you're going to run the defense, and you're going to be the overseer of the team. Or Leslie, and I don't know, was Caldwell the head coach in Indy, and Leslie was his DC?
When they went to the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, so now it could be like a payback. Like, hey, Jim, you were the head coach. Leslie was your DC. Now it could be the opposite. Now it's Leslie's turn to get another chance. And I think Jim Caldwell could play a role here with some of these guys that they like as solving that. I don't know.
I don't know. And Caldwell's another one. I mean, how many top 10 offenses did Caldwell have without Peyton Manning? The answer is zero.
But he did win more games than most coaches in Detroit, did he not?
May have.
Yeah.
I don't know what his record was.
I think he only had one losing season in Detroit.
Wow, did he? He did take Detroit to the playoffs, which is kind of a... impressive.
Caldwell's got a very good resume as a coach. Now, again, I'm not really dialed into anyone specifically. The one name that does, like I told you, Smith, from a general manager's perspective because of the experience, I would say Brian Daboll probably is encourages my enthusiasm because of what he's done with Josh Allen.
How could it not?
Like Josh Allen, do you know what Josh Allen did as a rookie in the league? Started 12 games, threw 10 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, and had a 68 quarterback rating.
Look at his completion percentage and all of it.
52%.
So
now I'm not telling you that Justin Fields is going to be Josh Allen. But what Brian Daboll did was built a plan around him, and it worked for both. He may build a plan around Justin Fields, and it may not work, But he's got a track record of doing something
that
we need here.
His offense the last 2 years, I know they had a little blip at times during the regular season, but his offense the last 2 years has been as efficient and as explosive as any. And yeah, when you have Allen and Diggs, it helps. I get it. They're like great weapons there. But in their play calling, in their inventiveness, in his aggressiveness, his ability to get that offense, especially last year, to bypass third down, like, that's what you want now. That's what this league is about. And, like, he's done it all. We've seen him do it for a couple of years now. Like, and maybe I'm just victim here to recency bias. I mean, that's very possible, and he could stink as head coach. But I don't know how any team is not completely drawn to Brian Daboll right now, especially if you have a young quarterback like the Bears do.
Yeah,
I really don't.
I agree. By the way, Jim Caldwell was 7-9, 9-7, 9-7 with Detroit.
Pretty good
and
for
he
Detroit.
He got fired after a second 9-7 season.
That's pretty good.
He got fired from Indy, I believe, in the year that Peyton got hurt.
I believe that's
they
right.
They went 2-14 and everyone got blown out. I think
and they got Luck.
And Jim Irsay wanted that to happen so they can draft Andrew
Luck. And then they got Luck.
Can you imagine if Luck didn't retire on them the last 2 years? The Phillip Rivers and Carson Wentz experiment? Can you imagine?
That's why I'm not so hard on Ballard. Like he's been scrambling. He's built a really good team.
Unbelievable.
But what do you think happens when you're
the week before the season starts?
Yeah, but you can't identify Carson Wentz then as the guy that's going to be your quarterback leaving.
Yurk, but I'm with you.
Maybe it's the best of all the poor options.
That's what I'm saying. Like Sylvie put it well. You're scrambling.
I know.
Ballard, on the eve of the season 2 years ago, becomes. Has to go into scramble mode because their franchise quarterback goes, I'm retiring.
Happened against the Bears. You remember? Yes. I was at Deer Path Inn, Waddle, and we're watching the preseason game. What's wrong with it? What's wrong with the Deer Path Inn?
There's nothing wrong with it.
Oh, that place is great.
Did you get 8 meals for the family on the way out? I mean, what happened?
You know it. We brought dessert home.
No, Deer Path Inn's wonderful.
I
don't want to digress.
Think about if Andrew Luck were still playing and was Andrew Luck, how good that team would probably be.
Well, listen,
the talent that they do have.
It's interesting because I heard what Johnny had to say about Cliff Kingsbury and what the Cardinals have done, and it's a really interesting concept. Look, they were on 11-16 this year, right?
Yes.
Like, Kingsbury's got this history that is ridiculously
It's a ridiculous pattern.
If you plotted it on a graph.
It would make, like...
It's like this. I... Fall.
It's not a trend. It's a way of life for him.
Yes.
Is what you start fast and you end slow.
Yeah.
But the point is like, do you fire someone that has helped you get to 11-6? And what do? Do you identify him as someone that can make you better but can't get you to the top of the mountain? In this league, we can look at all the GMs we want in the world. Unless you have a difference-making quarterback, you're gonna roller coaster. It's what you're going to do. And, like, look at Jason Light down in Tampa.
Yep.
Jason Light had three opportunities to hire head coaches, right?
Which is shocking.
He's fortunate.
The Tom Brady came to play.
Well, no, I'm not even that, but he's fortunate that he was given the opportunity to stay in his job for as long as he was because ultimately he did find a formula. Whether it was Tom Brady finding him or him finding Tom Brady, Jason Light hired Bruce Arians, right?
Yep.
They filled that roster with Mike Evans.
Yep.
Jason Light went out there and signed different guys. Godwin was a good draft pick out of Penn State.
Godwin, yeah.
My point is, look at the line
that they've drafted.
Like, we can look at Chris Ballard and say, well, you got to start winning more consistently. Where's all the playoff wins? Until you can find a quarterback that you can truly count on, you're going to ride the roller coaster. That's really true.
Are we? You guys want to pick these games?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, whatever you want, man. I'm ready.
Straight up winners?
Let me start with the first one.
I'm going Titans over Bengals.
I am too. I think experience will play a role, and I just think that rough and tumble is as a way of wearing you down, and that Bengals offensive line's giving up 50-plus sacks, and I think that the Titans will get to them.
Yeah, I'll go Bengals.
It's a bad line.
I'm with the Bengals.
You're going Bengals.
Yeah.
I'm tempted to go with the Bengals, but I'll go Titans.
I think this is one of those steps. Like, a team takes a step this year, and then next year will be...
I understand what he's saying.
I'm going Packers in the night game.
I am, too. I want to pick the 49ers, but they're banged up. They're on a short week. They're flying across the country again.
I'll bet the 49ers, but I think the Packers are going to win.
Can I tell you this as well?
Six.
This is what I would do, too. I saw this on somewhere. If I'm Kyle Shanahan, I have Debo Samuel return kicks and punts. Because the Packers special teams are one of the worst groups in the entire NFL. This is a lose and you're gone. I put Deebo Samuel back there and let him try and make a difference on special teams.
Something we don't get to talk about because, you know, the team's not in our city. We're not. But who is it? Rieger?
Jalen Rieger?
Yeah. Who's the return guy for Philadelphia?
Their punt
return guy destroyed that offense.
Yeah.
He did more to destroy their offense than anybody.
Yeah.
I have never seen a return man sabotage his squad more than that Rieger guy did.
Special teams don't matter, though.
Not just on the fumble.
Special teams don't matter.
Listen, not just on the fumble. Not just on the fumble. But on everything he tried to handle and mishandle in that whole damn game.
And it's the reason.
I've never seen it.
Johnny, it's the reason why I'm telling you, if the 49ers are smart, I think Shanahan is.
And who was Aguilar with?
Put your best player back there.
Who was Aguilar with?
Aguilar was with the Patriots.
He himself sabotaged his team, too, with his play. You look at teams and guys that do what they do, when they do it, he sabotaged.
Aguilar's always sabotaged.
I understand.
Box, right?
But not. Not that that was the difference in the game, but it certainly didn't help. It did not help on a team that was trying to find its footing and never found its footing. And there are opportunities to find your footing, and you never could because one player decided to go
ahead and
sabotage.
I think special teams can also go up north, and what has been the only thing they've struggled
with? Their kicker.
Boom.
Mason
Crosby. You got a kicker and a bad coverage team.
Wow. They do matter. They do matter.
Well, we all know that.
He's
special
grayer than
stroller.
Me, by the way. Mason Crosby's grayer than me.
Grayer. Listen.
Oh, grayer.
And greater.
After Devin gets into the Hall of Fame, I start my campaign for the Hall on the wedge team.
All right, stop it.
That's when I start my campaign.
I'm behind it. I will endorse you.
135
I
want to
get your
yards.
Number retired at Eastern already.
No,
what the fuck is going on there?
I don't need it down there. That's not a problem.
I know you say that, but
I've got
you
no
should.
Issues for Eastern.
Is it
Illinois
because
University.
You have to then start like a scholarship or
no,
something?
No, they're not getting a dime.
You have to endow a scholarship.
Nobody
well,
gets a dime.
We've got to endow a scholarship.
After the ex-roommate got 55% of everything, nobody gets a dime from me now, guys. That's the way this works now.
We're endowing
a
scholarship for me.
The kids and the good kid. That's it. That's my priority. Kids, the good kid. That's it.
Are we all picking the Packers?
Yeah, I've got the Packers, too.
Packers.
I'm picking both
well, no,
road teams
remember,
Sunday.
I'm betting Frisco.
No, we're picking winners.
Well, I'm betting Frisco, but I think Green Bay is going to win.
Would you rather have Green Bay lose this game at home in front of Lambeau Field or losing the Super Bowl in a heartbreaker?
Losing the Super Bowl in a heartbreaker.
You want the pain
no,
to be real.
I want him out now.
Yeah.
I want him out now.
Rodgers might want the pain to be real.
Yeah, this
Rodgers
probably be
may
better.
Get pissed off about something and they leave.
Tommy, you're right.
Will they go for both, a field goal or score a touchdown late in the game?
I think they'll go for a touchdown.
That's great. Did you see Big Cat interview him?
It's fantastic.
Did
he?
Oh, my God. It was fantastic. He said, he was joking. He goes, I'm never coming on your show again.
Is that Anthony Munoz? He's a big cat.
No. This is our guy, Dan Katz. He was interviewing him, and he asked him about.
Good. I think it's the fudge.
He goes, let me.
Coffee got to you.
He said, let me give you a scenario for this weekend's game. He goes, you're down eight.
You got the
ball. 2 minutes left in the game.
The MVP.
It's 4th and 12 or something like that. You're going for it, you're kicking a field goal.
That's awesome. I got to go back and watch it then. I saw him put
it's
on.
Worth,
on
yeah, it's worth
right, what are the games?
I'm going with both road teams on Sunday. I'm going to pick the Bucks and the Bills. I'm sorry, I'm going to pick the Rams and the Bills.
I'm going to pick the Rams and the Chiefs.
Rams and Chiefs for me, too.
Rams and Chiefs for me.
I'm going Bills.
I don't like Buffalo. Sooner they're out of the playoffs, the better the world is.
I think that's the one I feel the most angst about. I think the Bills could go there and beat them.
I think they've got it.
I just think it's against 49ers is a good matchup with the Packers. I think they've got too much working against them.
It's Andy Reid.
Well, I know. And
Andy Reid's going to get it done.
I told you, the only playoff game Mahomes has lost at home is the game he didn't touch the ball. They lost the coin toss, and Brady went down and scored a touchdown.
Last six games he's played, 17 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. He's found his footing.
He's back.
Yeah. He's found his footing.
Josh Allen also threw 5 touchdown passes against
the Bills. He did, but 3 weeks ago he threw 3 interceptions against the Atlanta Falcons.
That happened.
That's true.
So we all think that the Bucs are done.
Yes, I'm going with the Rams.
Too many injuries.
Just a good bet. You can get Tom Brady right now, 7 to 8 to 1 to be Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah, but if we all think they're losing.
I'm just saying
the MVP he's going on.
Yeah, Super Bowl MVP.
Oh, the Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah.
No.
Aaron Rodgers 4 to 1 right now.
You can waste your money on
what's Josh
that
Allen?
Tom Brady bet.
I think he was like 7 or 8 to 1 too.
That's the one to take.
Mahomes or Allen.
Mahomes or Allen, yeah.
How about Stafford? Stafford's the wager. Well, you got the Rams winning.
That's true.
So if I'm going to go 12 to 1 for Stafford, tell me if I'm right.
That's probably what I want my money. Yeah. Waddle, so you are violated your own rule about being late to the part, the Tom Brady party.
On this, I'm picking the Rams, yes. I think the loss of Wirfs is...
That's huge. And the center, too. The center can't come back. You put your hands in between a strange man's thighs.
And with all the injuries...
You're not going to have a comfortable feeling.
Doesn't Ramsey take Mike Evans away? I don't think he wants to throw to any other receiver.
No.
I don't think he trusts any of them.
Listen,
well, Gronk, like, Gronk. Gronk.
It's fair. That's Look, Gronk. But I mean, like, with that, with Ramsey kind of taking Evans away, potentially,
I think
like,
the Rams can get. I think the Rams can get beyond one boom goes the dynamite mistake from Stafford. If he has two, then that's when the Bucs win.
Yeah. Well, that's what Frisco did. Got past one Jimmy Garoppolo in the mistake.
That's Stafford's 14-1.
Boom! That's your wager.
Give me Josh Allen.
That's your wager.
Okay, but likely Johnny, if Stafford gets through the gets through the Bucs,
NFL MVP.
He's gonna have to go to Green Bay.
$20.
He's gonna have to go to Green Bay. He's not gonna beat Green Bay.
I get you. Pay me. Let's bet it.
Why don't you just plan DraftKings?
I can and I will, but hold on. Book the bet for me. I want it against you.
I'm trying to give you some sense. I don't want sense.
Okay. I want to gamble.
Okay. I'm just giving you the other side. We're doing a little research
when
right
I bet
now.
Jim Furyk to be the first round leader last Thursday.
20 for 300.
Well, that's including the 20 coming back. 14-1. 20 for 300. All right, good. I got Matt Stafford to win. Wonderful. See, that's a good bet right there out of my guy. When I took Furyk last Thursday to be the first round leader,
that was such a good bet.
And he goes out and shoots 62. I didn't think he was going to shoot 62, but the little bastard did. Good for him. Right? That's what he did.
He shot at 79 the next day,
Kevin
didn't he?
Did he?
No, that's Kevin Knott.
He shot 72.
Kevin Knott right in the little guys. I would.
If the Rams get to the Super Bowl, I'll start laying it off. That's all. I'll hedge.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Merck, before we leave, what are the odds of those other two?
Mahomes is plus 450 and Josh Allen's plus 550. So 5-1's 4-1, basically.
All right. Enjoy the weekend, boys.
You got it, guys.
Why don't you go fuck yourself, Tommy?